WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the church begins final preparations for Saturday service and procession to the church where Pope Francis will be laid to rest, his final wishes are being revealed. In Rome, ABC's James Longman.
His wooden coffin placed at ground level, not elevated, so that those gathering could see him more easily.
He is keeping some traditions. He'll wear his pallium, a scarf-like garment and a symbol of his status as a good shepherd. A bag of coins featuring his portrait and a document summarizing his papacy will be buried with him.
50,000 mourners have filed past the casket in Rome so far. President Trump pushing back on Ukraine for a peace deal. President Zelensky saying no to U.S. demands that Ukraine not be allowed to join NATO and that Russia be allowed to keep all of the land that it has captured so far. President Trump continuing to push for negotiations with trading partners as American companies, including Southwest Airlines and PepsiCo, lower their earnings estimate for the year because of tariff uncertainty. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Tax and budget talks are getting off the ground at the Capitol. Democratic Governor Tony Evers said Tuesday that he's had meetings with Republican legislative leaders and staff. Evers said his goal would be to have work completed this summer, but the legislature seems a little slow this time around. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss believes the governor realizes that there will not be new spending without a reduction in taxes.
I think the governor realizes that we're not going to spend any more money unless we have the ability to reduce taxes and help folks deal with inflation. And I think we realize that we're not going to ever get a tax cut if we don't talk with the governor and see where his priorities are as well. So we're very early in the process, but again, I'm an optimist. I hope we can get a budget across the finish line.
Republicans prefer passing a tax package before moving on to the budget, while Evers wants any cuts to be part of the overall budget. Evers said he won't make a decision regarding a possible third term until after the budget is finished. A Republican bill in the state legislature would keep appointees to a state position from continuing after their term ends. It would close a loophole that allows an appointee to continue to remain on a state board or commission until a replacement is named and confirmed by the state Senate. The issue first surfaced in 2022 when an appointee of Governor Scott Walker, Fred Prynne, remained on the Natural Resources Board for over a year after his term ended. It happened again a year later when Megan Wolf's term as Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator ended, and the commission didn't nominate her successor. The Wisconsin Supreme Court later decided to allow Prynne and Wolf to remain in their positions. Richland Center Public Works and Brewer Public Library will host an Arbor Day Story Time Friday from 3 to 4:30 at the library. Each attendee will go home with their own seedling to plant. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
It's the NFL Draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the NFL Draft is getting underway. Thousands of fans and the network's broadcasting live. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst asked, after being just one game away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where does he think the team is heading into this season?
I think we're growing. You know, we lost our last three games, right? I think that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't think we can get very far away from that and understand that we got a lot of work to do. But I do like our group. I think they're eager, and I think they're all kind of entering a phase where they're going to be playing their best football. So I think we're really excited about that.
NBA, the Bucks back home, getting ready for the Pacers for Game 3 tomorrow night. Indy leads that series 2-0. Baseball, Brewers losing to the Giants 4-2. Pat Murphy on the decision to pull Freddie Peralta in the sixth.
We believed that he could do it, and then two quick hits, and then 0-2 to ball four. I didn't like that, and then he was at 96, and one of those things.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point. Our high right around 68 this afternoon. Some showers and thundershowers tonight. Our low 47 tomorrow. Some scattered rain. Quarter inch or more is possible. 56 the weekend. Looking pretty good. Sunshine 60 Saturday. Upper 60s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, April 24th, 2025. Coming up, our guest Sarah Drever is going to talk to us about the recent comments by HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. about autism, what he has to say about what he thinks causes it and what it does to people's lives. And as I said earlier, it might be easier to catalog what he got right rather than all the many things that he got wrong. We'll have that discussion coming up in just a couple of moments. We also have Joe Zepecki joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about this week's Wisconsin political news, not the least of which is his own run for state Democratic Party chair. He's not the only one running. We talked to William Garcia yesterday in our 8 o'clock hour, and tomorrow in our 8 o'clock hour, we will talk to Devin Remiker, the current executive director of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. They are the three candidates currently. There may or may not be others between now and the state convention in mid-June, but we want to give you every opportunity to hear what they have to say about what they would do to lead Wisconsin progressives after Ben Wickler steps aside. So all that yet to come in this third hour of our newly expanded morning show, which for us also includes another crack at getting a forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot for the state, hoping that in the hour since we talked to her last, that the forecast has changed, and for the NFL draft in Green Bay tonight, there will be sunshine and temperatures in the mid-70s and not a drop of rain. And the look on Brittany's face is telling me the forecast has not changed that much in the past hour.
No, it hasn't. I wish it did. I wish it did.
Well, let's look at the positive side, because there are people who are going to be there. They've traveled a long ways. Yeah, there will be a couple of gloomy gusses, you know, they're scowling under their poncho.
Sure.
Others are going to make the most of it. Some of it might be fueled by fermented malt beverages, but they are going to have a good time regardless of what the weather's going to be. So
I agree with you.
Let's tell them what the weather's going to be.
All right. Yes. There's too many events and activities going on and smiles going around that I don't think the weather is going to dampen anything. And of course, it is holding off as long as it possibly can. It actually fills in rain through the entire state, holding off on the Fox Valley to the last possible minute. So that is actually good news for you guys. But throughout the state right now, it is pretty crisp and chilly. It's still below freezing in Hayward, Wisconsin right now at 30 degrees, and it is 57 until Milwaukee. So the state, temperature-wise, is going to see a huge spread. We're looking at near 80 degrees south down by the state line today, mostly 60s central. It'll be 60 degrees into Green Bay and 50s north. And we're looking at that heat just continuing through the day today, and then we lose it tomorrow as this low-pressure system moves in. So what we're looking at is a few spotty showers popping up later on this evening and becoming more steady into the northwestern parts of the state later tonight. Now, it'll spread up into the north overnight, and this will start to move into the Fox Valley then in Titletown, and then some scattered showers start to pop up down south overnight as well. So by tomorrow morning, yes, rain is going to be widespread. It will be heavier pretty much from Minneapolis to the UP, and it'll be lighter elsewhere. We're looking at about a quarter of an inch to fall into the Green Bay area. That should end around noon or so. And for the rest of the state, that, of course, will clear on out of here in the morning hours. So, you know, the clouds are going to be gone by Friday. We are going to be battling some breezy winds out there. So temperatures will only hit highs of about 50 degrees. And it's going to feel much colder because winds are going to be gusting around 30. So if you're going to the draft, pack a poncho, wear layers, get ready for the winds. Friday is going to be a little brutal, but Saturday is going to be gorgeous with a ton of sunshine out there for Brad Paisley's concert. Temperatures will be into the 60s again. So honestly, it's really just Friday morning and a little bit of Friday afternoon is a little brutal.
And we're still facing a shortfall of precipitation in many areas. And so this is actually needed rain that we're getting. Poorly timed, but needed. Just the same. So
it was like Mother Nature's first round draft pick was to dampen the NFL draft.
Yes. But, you know, sometimes it's those late round picks that are ones that really shine.
True.
And I mean that literally might be shining later on. Thank you, Brittany, very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot giving us an update on the statewide forecast. And she'll have local forecasts, of course, throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. A little later on, we're going to check the mailbag. Several folks sending in comments or questions about some of the topics that we covered already. One asking about the emoluments clause and why isn't the Trump family being prosecuted for that. There's one about what can be done now that voter ID has been put into the Wisconsin Constitution, if anything, and more. So a quick reminder that you can send in your questions or comments a couple of different ways. If you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, just put something in the comment section. We'll see it. Maybe pop it up on screen. You can also use the Civic Media app to text or call us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you can also email us your thoughts on our question of the week that we put in our Sunday morning Wisconsin politics newsletter, which this time around is, what do you think Wisconsin should do with the governor's almost limitless partial veto powers? Because as you may have heard last week, the state Supreme Court upheld a partial veto that allowed the governor to extend increases in school aid annually for 400 years. And that's not unconstitutional. It's a little funny. Maybe it needs to be adjusted, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe you think the partial veto needs to stay as is so that bills can be modified rather than vetoed, forcing the legislature to start all over. So what are your thoughts on what Wisconsin should have for a partial veto or not? Radio@upnorthnewswi.com or the comment sections of the Facebook pages for Up North News or Civic Media, or the YouTube pages of Up North News and Civic Media. All right, let's talk for a bit about comments that were made last week by Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy. And yeah, I still have trouble saying that out loud as well, but he is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And when talking about a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about the rates of autism among children in the U.S., he spread a lot of falsehoods. He offended a lot of people, not the least of which was this quote, and I'm not going to play the tape. I don't need to give him extra publicity, but here are the words he used. These are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. That's all garbage. And people are rightly calling it out as such, some in very strong terms. And we happen to notice online the comments of Sarah Drever, who joins us now as well, a mother of two who can tell us much more about family life with autism and what it means to have a Health and Human Services Secretary talking like this. Sarah Drever, good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well.
Okay. Let me just leave it very open-ended for you, because obviously when you heard Secretary Kennedy's comments, you went online and really called him to task. So tell us a bit more about what you said and why.
Yeah, I know that your team found me by seeing my comments on Facebook, but most of my response was actually directly to the quote that you already read, specifically calling out things that autistic individuals will never be able to do. And I brought up my kiddos as an example. As you said, I'm a mother of two, so I have twin boys. They're 5 years old, and they're both on the spectrum. They both have autism spectrum disorder. So when I heard that quote, obviously, I kind of went into mama bear mode and thought about my children and the fact that they are absolutely capable of all of those things. In fact, they're already capable of reciting poetry. They will likely do a lot of the other things that he mentioned as well. My kiddos speak three languages, so I would argue that they can communicate better than a lot of neurotypical people and neurotypical children at age five. So they're incredibly impressive. And I also identify as a neurodiverse individual for being on the spectrum. I would argue all of us are on the spectrum because it is a spectrum, but I have ADHD. And I also took it very personally when he says things like, these folks will never pay taxes or hold a job. I have a doctorate. I have a job. I'm a contributing member of society. I volunteer often. I consider myself a good neighbor and community member. And I show up. So I think it's really scary. And I think a lot of parents and advocates were rightly scared because the language that he was using also lifts up and brings about messages of eradication, you know, ending, cure, instead of using language like better understand or accommodate or advocate. So now with mention of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s idea of wanting to have an autism registry, obviously a lot of us are scared. We're thinking about other things that he said, like autism destroys families. I'm here to say that autism is very much a part of my family, and it makes my family better, incredible.
It's really something that we're talking about these comments on the fifth anniversary of President Trump making comments about, you know, injecting disinfectant into the body to cure COVID or shining a light into it, because it would seem like this would be the perfect time for a president to say, no, my Health and Human Services Secretary got it wrong. This is not where I stand. But clearly, based on Trump's previous comments, there may be more than a little bit of support for what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say. And this whole notion now that in his quest to find a, quote, cause and cure for autism, he wants to begin collecting Americans' private health records is more than a little disturbing, Sarah.
Very disturbing. And as I mentioned, I think that's why a lot of the response from especially parents, caregivers, family members is fear. I'm also confused. I think a lot of the leadership currently and the executive orders that have been passed are a lot of them that have to do with halting federal funding and slowing down or ceasing medical research. Those seem directly contradictory to a lot of the things that RFK Jr. is saying he wants to do. And so,
it's hard to say you're looking for a cure for something while you're also cutting cancer research and so many other things. Sarah Drever is an advocate for the neurodiverse community and talking about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s comments on autism. Still ahead this hour, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki from the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Oh, before I forget, Milwaukee Brewers lost yesterday 4-2 in San Francisco, and they will wrap up that four-game series coming up this afternoon, 2:10 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Your Republican Senator Howard Markline wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Howard Markline at 608-266-0703 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR. Paid for by the Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Mommy, how come my cat's in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A ramen noodle skate park restaurant, a hammer that turns into a cookie, and a mobile cancer treatment support unit were just some of the many business ideas that came out of the third annual Career Fair Day hosted at North Crawford High School earlier this month. 7 busloads of students from high schools across the region were treated to a day-long event featuring 15 workshops and 25 college and career trade show booths. The high schools participating included Prairie du Chien, Kickapoo, DeSoto, Seneca, West Salem, and Waseca-Steuben, as well as host high school North Crawford. Small Business Development Center consultants Noor Ruffin-Schmidt and Kate Koziel ran the Turn Your Ideas into Reality Business Planning Workshop, where more than 50 students came up with business ideas and presented them to the group. The Small Business Development Center workshop used the Business Canvas tool to encourage and provide a framework for sketching out new business ideas. 10 colleges and universities also attended the Career Day event, including UW-Platteville, UW-La Crosse, UW-Stout, University of Minnesota Rochester, and Grand Canyon University, located in Phoenix, Arizona. Regional and local businesses were also in attendance, including Rockwell Automation, Matthew Construction, Dove Healthcare Fenimore, Select Milk Producers Incorporated, and Train Technologies. To learn more about the Small Business Development Centers of Southwest Wisconsin, visit the website at wisconsinsbdc.org/centers/southwest Iowa-Wisconsin-SBDC. Viroqua's citywide rummage sale will be held today through Saturday. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you were a fan of Malcolm in the Middle, you'll want to hear this. The 25th anniversary reboot of the show is currently in production in Vancouver. Deadline reports that the Fox show, which first dropped in 2000, will air four new episodes on Disney+. Bryan Cranston, Jane Kaczmarek, and Frankie Muniz will all revise their roles. The original Malcolm produced 151 episodes over seven seasons. Speaking of Frankie Muniz, if you're wondering what the 39-year-old actor has been up to, the answer is racing. Muniz launched a career as a full-time NASCAR driver just recently. He was not happy with his finish in a recent race on April 18th where his power steering line burst and he injured his hand while compensating. Muniz was also involved in an accident during a race in Bristol, Tennessee in early April. Sounds like I could beat him with my Honda. The actor says if he had to choose between acting or racing, he would choose racing. If things keep going the way they're going, they will be looking for a new middle child on Malcolm. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point. Our high right around 68 this afternoon. Some showers and thundershowers tonight. Our low 47 tomorrow. Some scattered rain. Quarter inch or more is possible. 56 the weekend. Looking pretty good. Sunshine 60 Saturday. Upper 60s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 54.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE, the RC's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
My son said to me, Mom, I'm not sure heaven is a real place, but it makes people feel better. So I tell them she's in heaven. And I'm like, you're five. That's such an amazing explanation. That's such an advanced concept. And the fact that he took the time to process that, realized all those things, connected all those dots, and then told me that was just amazing. So my kids are both medically complex. And I think that means they will face a world that will not always be accommodating. So I think their ASD or autism spectrum disorder will help them find new and better ways of participating, communicating, thinking, perceiving.
Well, that's, again, provided that we continue to improve the environment that's out there, the attitudinal environment that's out there, which unfortunately Robert Kennedy Jr. espouses the opposite of that. He took a report that noted that autism prevalence in the U.S. has increased from 1 in 36 children 5 years ago to 1 in 31 children in 2022, and used that to say autism was an epidemic, and he vowed to find a quote-unquote environmental toxin. When, Sarah, he's being rightly criticized for noting that the change in numbers is probably due more to more comprehensive screening across a broader population.
Absolutely. That is true. And something that's commendable if we're better diagnosing. I think there's also a lot we've come a long way in understanding, right? So when we're looking back at, our great aunt Edna and her quirky collections, and we use terms to describe her like quirky, or now we look back and we say that person was probably on the spectrum. I think it's just a change in an evolution in our learning and understanding.
And that's what we're hoping to see continued, is an evolution of understanding and not bringing back some old tropes and stereotypes and, frankly, causing much more harm than good. And so I'm so thankful that folks like you are willing to speak out. Sarah Drever, Eau Claire native, joining us from Minnesota. Thank you very much for your visit, for your words, for your advocacy. Take good care.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, Joe Zepecki, and a reminder to sign up for our newsletters, plural. We have our weekday one. We have our Sunday morning politics one and a monthly one dealing with sports. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlum.
Your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here is the latest. Andor makes its return for season 2. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of season 1. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season 2 will have 12 episodes. The first 3 episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release 3 episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a 4-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have 6 episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, joined now by Joe Zepecki, who, along with giving us his usual weekly analysis of Wisconsin political happenings, is one of the Wisconsin political happenings as he's running for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And again, I hasten to add, with all the candidates, we're talking to all of them, William Garcia on Wednesday, and then Devin Remicker at 8:30 on Friday morning. Joe Zepecki, how are you?
Well, I believe I was the only one to announce it and make my first public appearance on your very show, Pat.
You most certainly will, and were, and we are very appreciative of that. So you are a whole week in the books of campaigning. How's it going?
I can't tell if it's felt more like a month or more like 24 hours, but somewhere in there. It's going really, really well. We're picking up a lot of support. People are reacting, you know, very positively to the calls for change with how we communicate as a party. To how we fine-tune year-round organizing, and to, you know, on the flip side of the coin, how we make sure we continue to raise the resources necessary to compete and win as a Democratic Party. So I've got hundreds of miles down already and about another 1,100 to go between now and Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got this is the season for ahead of the state party conventions. This is both Democrats and Republicans. There are the congressional district level conventions, and you've got to make that big run between the 7th congressional district convention this weekend and then the 3rd congressional district convention, that run from Hayward to La Crosse. I have done that multiple times, and you're doing that this weekend, but you got to go where the people are.
I'm sure it's a beautiful drive. I'm glad I'll be doing it in daylight and not in the dead of night.
Yes. Because I've done that both ways, too. One is most definitely preferable to the other. And along with all of that, you know, we talked to Sarah Godlewski a very short time ago, who is now running for first vice chair of the party as well, talking about all the road trips that include town halls where Republican members of Congress are invited to show up, but have not really been big on meeting with their constituents of late.
No. Where is the Wisconsin Republican Party? I mean, they're nowhere. I was out in La Crosse the other night. Mark Pocan did a empty chair town hall in the district of Derek Van Orden. Mr. Van Orden doesn't want to take questions from his constituents unless he gets to pre-screen them. And I want to point this part out. This was an open to the public event. That Pocan was doing outside of his own district. There was no screening in terms of who was in the room. And so you had a couple of college Republicans wearing Derek Van Orden t-shirts and MAGA hats. You know what Mark Pocan did? He took their question. It wasn't a very nice question, but he took it and he answered it respectfully. There was a MAGAverse streamer who, you know, that we're talking like the Newsmax or further to the right, who had a ridiculous, disrespectful question. And I don't mean disrespectful that he asked the question. I mean the tone of voice and the way he asked Pocan the question about trans athletes. You know what Mark did? He answered the question. And that is the job. If you hold a position of public trust that the people elected you to, is to go out and face hard questions. Derek Van Orden is apparently not interested in that. Ron Johnson is apparently not interested in that. Tom Tiffany does not appear to be interested in that. And, you know, it really gives away the game. They know that what they're doing is not popular. They know that they are complicit in an administration that is taking a blowtorch to the Constitution, that is creating economic upheaval for no reason. Right there, sometimes there's an economic crisis because something happens, like a terrorist attack or a natural disaster or a pandemic. Donald Trump inherited a healthy economy, not a perfect economy, but the most healthy economy in the world. And this is all self-inflicted by Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans who have just stood back and said, okay, boss, you do what you want to do. We're willing to sacrifice and cede our constitutional authority. So are they too embarrassed to go before their constituents? They should be, but it still kind of gives away the game.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how much of it is embarrassment because they know better, how much of it is complicity. And you mentioned, you know, when times aren't good, and I would again invoke personal privilege here to say that, you know, during my time in the legislature, the housing bubble had burst, the markets tanked, there was the Great Recession that was upon us, and tough decisions had to be made. You know what we still did? We still held our town halls. I held 100 of them during my 4 years as a state senator. Russ Feingold went to 72 counties every single time. I watched as those crowds got increasingly hostile, as more Republicans felt the need to come in and, again, act disrespectful in the way that you did. Did Russ Feingold stop? No. It's part of the job is to talk to people, even the ones who want to be rude to you. And, you know, so good on you and Mark Pocan and others who are still trying to follow through with this, because people deserve to know their concerns are being heard.
Sure do.
Let's ask you about stories that were in the news this past week here. I believe it was after our discussion last week that the Wisconsin Supreme Court put out a decision, 4-3, that upheld a partial veto that allowed an increase in school aid to go on for 400 years because of the way the partial veto is structured. It's awkward. It's a little unpleasant. Even the progressive justices said as much, but it's not unconstitutional. I asked in our weekend newsletter what people think. Should we keep this as is, as a necessary check on a renegade legislature, or is this a little too far and we need to rein it in? Do we just have a straight up or down veto on the whole bill, no partial vetoes? What were your thoughts after the state Supreme Court decision last week?
I think this is not one that anybody should get their dander up about. Wisconsin's governor has extraordinary line item veto power and always has. The Vanna White veto, the most famous of which was Tommy Thompson taking pages and pages of a budget to cross out most of words or whole words to create new words to build a new highway that the legislature had not authored. You may know this story better than I, Pat, but like, this is tale as old as time. The Wisconsin governor has a mighty veto pen, and they wield it. And, you know, that was the Vanna White veto that Tommy used. This approach is something that Tony Evers had done, which was in question before the court, is very similar to something that Scott Walker had done, where Scott Walker locked something in for 1,000 years. It was a 1,000-year veto. You know, Tony Evers was only doing a 400-year line item veto. This is the way it goes. I'm curious what we're going to end up calling the vetoes that lock something in for a long time in the future. Our friend Bill McCoshin, Republican strategist, suggested the Jetsons veto because it's for so far into the future. That's not bad. I think we might be able to do better, but that's usually the case when Bill's talking.
That's right. So we'll continue to see how that's wielded, especially with this next state budget that is still being formed. It should be the thing the legislature, controlled by Republicans, is working on most often and most frequently. And instead, we're getting, as we did yesterday, these sideshows. And in this case, I'm speaking specifically about a press release from Senator Eric Wimberger from Oconto, talking all about the legislature's audit committee that held a public hearing into the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on Governor Evers' unconstitutional orders about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it just seems if you're spending your time fighting diversity and holding hearings on what used to be a really bipartisan committee, Joe, the audit committee used to rise above all of those and simply looked into genuine abuse or waste of taxpayer dollars. These folks have really taken even that bipartisan committee around the bend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your father and your grandfather's Republican Party is gone. Don't take my word for it. Take, you know, Todd Albaugh and Trivigy Olson, who I was talking with yesterday on air, his word for it. There's only one serious political party left. The Republican Party is not a serious political governing party anymore. It just isn't. And, you know, those are their choices. And they do not see the hypocrisy in attacking, you know, reasonable, effective, proven out diversity, equity, and inclusion policies because we now live in the Trump era of meritocracy, where Peter Hegseth, the least qualified person in the Fox Green Room to run the Pentagon, the world's largest bureaucracy, clearly is the most worthy person of that role, and it's why his leadership at the Pentagon is falling apart and his inner circle is crumbling. Like, they don't believe in meritocracy, and they don't believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. They believe in might makes right, and if they can make a buck, corrupt or otherwise, that is what they will do. They are centralizing power like authoritarian regimes have done before, and it doesn't matter that Hegseth isn't qualified. It matters that he's loyal, and that should scare all of us. And so when you see state Republicans chirping about, you know, nonsensical, non-existent waste, fraud, and abuse, we should just call it out for what it is, which is hypocritical nonsense. And I want to be really clear. There is sometimes waste, fraud, and abuse in government, and it should always be identified and rooted out, and there should be accountability. But that's not what the Republicans are talking about, right? Republicans are doing things like firing inspectors general in Washington. They're not actually serious about it. They just want to use it to distract you from the fact that they are further fixing the economy for those at the very top so they can do another tax cut to their big donors and big corporations. And we have to get wise to that and make sure people understand that's what they're doing.
And what a study in contrast to find that instead on the Democratic side, you had legislators yesterday introducing a bill that would restore women's reproductive health rights and remove many of the abortion care restrictions that have no business being in a doctor's exam room. Now, look, the legislature is controlled by Republicans. It's not going to pass. Why is it still important for Democratic lawmakers to introduce bills like this and to talk about them?
So that people know where we stand. And I want to applaud the Assembly Democrats for doing that. I also want to applaud Assembly and Senate, or excuse me, Senate Democrats for pushing once again to pass the extension of maternal Medicaid. There are 48 states that have done this to protect new moms and babies from the first year of a baby's life. Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states that haven't done so. And the reason is one person, Robin Voss. Yesterday, state Senate took it up, passed it 32-1. Overwhelmingly bipartisan support, 32-1. And now we need to put the pressure on Robin Voss to bring that to a vote. It has more than 50 Assembly co-sponsors, which means if it comes to the floor, it will pass, and we will be able to better support new moms and babies. Let's get this done.
Joe Spiecky is running for state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Here's what we've got tomorrow morning on the program. Our Week in Review panel of Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob. We've got Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, Dan Schumacher talking sports and the NFL draft, and Kristen Lyerly. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reminding you to never settle for anyone who wants to take this nation short on his full promise, liberty and justice for all.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Tax and budget talks are getting off the ground at the Capitol. Democratic Governor Tony Evers said Tuesday that he's had meetings with Republican legislative leaders and staff. Evers said his goal would be to have work completed this summer, but, quote, the legislature seems a little slow this time around. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss believes the governor realizes that there will not be new spending without a reduction in taxes.
I think the governor realizes that we're not going to spend any more money unless we have the ability to reduce taxes and help folks deal with inflation. And I think we realize that we're not going to ever get a tax cut if we don't talk with the governor and see where his priorities are as well. So we're very early in the process, but again, I'm an optimist. I hope we can get a budget across the finish line.
Republicans prefer passing a tax package before moving on to the budget, while Evers wants any cuts to be part of the overall budget. Evers and Republicans have a roughly $4.3 million surplus to work with. Evers said he won't make a decision regarding a possible third term until after the budget is finished. A Republican bill in the state legislature would keep appointees to a state position from continuing after their term ends. It would close a loophole that allows an appointee to continue to remain on a state board or commission until a replacement is named and confirmed by the state Senate. The issue first surfaced in 2022 when an appointee of Governor Scott Walker, Fred Preen, remained on the Natural Resources Board for over a year after his term ended. It happened again a year later when Megan Wolf's term as Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator ended and the commission didn't nominate her successor. The Wisconsin Supreme Court later decided to allow both Preen and Wolf to remain in their positions. A bill to provide health care for new moms sailed through the state Senate Tuesday on a 32-1 vote, but faces an uncertain path in the Assembly. The bill to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms to 1 year is from Republican Senator Jesse James. Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only states capping that coverage at 60 days. James said that leaves far too many women without the care they need during the one of the most critical times in their lives. He called the measure a simple, meaningful step that can change the outcomes for families in Wisconsin. but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss isn't ready to sign off on it. Voss said the Assembly Republican caucus has yet to discuss the bill, which he called an expansion of welfare and something that he could not support. A similar bill passed the Senate last session, but didn't get a vote in the Assembly. Guidance from the Democratic governor of Wisconsin's administration to state employees about what to do if immigration officials or other federal agents show up at their workplace is drawing fire from Republicans who say it was in defiance of the law and President Donald Trump. The guidance from Governor Tony Evers' Department of Administration was emailed to state workers Friday afternoon. It offers guidance mirroring what immigrant rights groups and other advocates have released. The memo comes as Trump's administration has ramped up efforts to deport people living in the country illegally, setting off a string of lawsuits and resistance among Democrats. Wisconsin business owners are in limbo trying to figure out how the tariffs will affect them and how it'll hurt their bottom line. Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
TJ Samanchin owns Wonder State Coffee. They were just named the 2025 Roaster of the Year by Roast Magazine. Samanchin knows he's facing a 10% tax on all his coffee beans. Now he has to figure out how to pay for it.
It's brutal. I mean, what's happening for small businesses? These tariffs are directly hitting us. Who pays for it? It's the businesses who are buying these products. Literally, I am the guy who pays the tariff. It is a direct increased cost to business. It's a tax. It's across the board.
Samanchin buys all his coffee beans from farmers in other countries for his Wisconsin cafes and fays in Viroqua, Bayfield, and here in Madison.
According to a study commissioned by the Wall Street Journal, small and medium-sized businesses make up a third of all imports to the U.S. Two-thirds of business owners said in that survey that tariffs will directly hurt their bottom line. Now that winter is over, there are more travelers on the roadways heading to out-of-state destinations. There has also been an increase of fake toll charge text. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Wisconsin's getting hit really hard with this right now, and part of it we think is because of spring breaks and the variations across the state with the timing of spring break. And of course, we border a state that has tolls, and others travel down south where they exist or maybe to visit friends and family where tolls exist. So we got hit really hard with these text messages that indicate they're from a tolling agency, and they look like they're either from Easy Pass or Wisconsin DOT, and they say that you are overdue or delinquent in having paid your tolls from having traveled through, and that you need to go to a website that looks like it's legitimate.
Even though the text and the website it directs you to may look real, they should be ignored.
It impersonates a tolling website for you to make that payment. But consumers across the board have not left the state, do not have outstanding tolls. They are not subject to penalties or fines and any law enforcement action. So they should disregard this toll and do not click on the links that are contained within the text message.
If you feel the information you receive is real, do some research before taking action.
If you really did travel out of state where there is a toll, then go directly to that tolling agency website, not using the link that's in the text message. Go find it yourself. Go there, run your license plate, and see if there's an outstanding toll. But don't just respond to this message out of fear or urgency to make payment. And then report it to your telecommunications provider so hopefully they can get a handle and block some of these. And then when it's a new scam, make sure consumer protection is also aware of what's circulating.
Michelle Reinen says that if you receive a text about a toll charge, the best thing to do is get rid of it.
Please delete the message. If reporting it as junk to your provider doesn't auto-delete, then you take action to delete it.
If you receive toll charge text or have scam by it, you can contact ATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. Forecast calls for scattered showers early this morning with some peaks of sun developing by afternoon, still fairly mild with a high of 68. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 70% chance of rain, mainly after midnight, a low of 47. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The head of the International Monetary Fund is urging countries to swiftly resolve trade disputes because they are threatening global economic growth. 2 days ago, the IMF downgraded the outlook for world economic growth this year. That announcement coming as the Trump administration appears to shift its tone on one sector.
In another sign that the White House may be backing off of these tariffs, sources tell us that the administration is now considering possible exemptions for some tariffs on Chinese auto parts, but the White House says that no final decision has been made.
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. Applications for unemployment benefits went up last week, but only slightly. Meta, Starbucks, Southwest Airlines, CNN among those laying off workers in the month of March. A 19-year-old has been charged with aggravated arson for allegedly setting the bonfire and leaving the area without properly extinguishing it, causing the more than 10,000-acre Jones Road fire in Ocean County, New Jersey. This is ABC News.